Well, God is good. And He's good to me. Is God good to you? Then let's say, Lord, You are good to me. And my life reflects Your goodness. Amen. I'm telling you, if it's good, it's good. If it's good, it's good, isn't it? If it's good, it is good. So let me ask you this. What is the greatest, now don't say my life, because we expect that we all have that, okay? What do you think is the greatest gift that you have to offer? Think about that. What is God given you personally that is so magnificent for other people? Don't answer. Larry King can't. Okay, love. Love is good. Love is good. What else? Holy Spirit. Those are good things. Salvation for others. What has He given you to give to others? Salvation comes from the Lord. Sowing the word. How do you sow the word? Truth. She says sowing the word. Sometimes she ministers, then she evangelizes. And give out tracts. That's powerful. Your life. I want to bring it down home to something so general, so for everyone, that sometimes we don't really just think about how powerful it really is. And it is probably one of the most powerful things that exists. Isn't that something? It's something that God uses, that you use, that everyone's aware of, that everyone's completely infiltrated by, that everyone completely gives it away all the time, and that it has influenced every fiber of your being to who you are today, and it has influenced every fiber of everyone else's being that you have influenced. That's how powerful this gift is. Pretty significant, don't you think? What could it be? My words. We're going to talk about words today. Words are so incredibly powerful that I'm going to show you a video later on that each of you can do an experiment. That we're going to have a video up here of an experiment. And there's a lot of videos that'll support it. You can watch hundreds of them. And this experiment you can do yourself. And I believe that when you see this and when you get to experience it yourself, it will so profoundly affect you that I believe it'll change the course of your life. It'll change the entire course of your life when the revelation sinks in. Because I think that we have taken this subject of our words, and sure we hear it, sure we know it, sure in our brain we can say it, but I don't think we really realize what we've been given and what our words generate. Let's look at a couple Bible verses, shall we? Let me just talk a second before we even look at some verses, because I've got about 112 verses, but I don't want to use all 112. I might only use 100 of them. Just because I want it to be backed up with the Bible, you know, you can understand that, right? So, not really that many, but as you look at this subject, you'll see. So let's just talk for a second. How did God create the world? Didn't He speak it into existence? He speaks it into existence. Would you put up Hebrews 1, 3? And then Hebrews 11, 2. God spoke it into existence. Has He ever changed? So he created with words, right? Don't we do the same thing? I don't think we realize what we've been doing to ourselves. This is healing school, right? Do you know we have been speaking words our entire life? Look at this, verse 1. This is talking about Jesus. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by what? The word of his power. Then he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You want to do Hebrews 11, 2? 3, sorry. And we all know what Hebrews 11, 1 is. It's faith is the substance of things hoped for. We know that verse. And then verse 2 is for the elders obtained a good testimony. And then 3, I'm throwing this out. It's hard to just go and get another verse and throw it back up on this program. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That doesn't mean by the Bible. It means by God speaking words, it framed the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. He took invisible things and framed the world. Can you see your words? No. You can only see the effects of them. You can only respond and feel different by words. You know, words can make you feel good or bad, right? Is that true? So let's talk about this for a second. If God created with words, and everything that is seen, that exists, was created by words, right? Everything. This pew. Men had to conceive an idea, and then they had to talk and write it on paper and communicate back and forth and create this pew right here. So words are not only spoken. Do you know words that are written are just as powerful as words that are spoken? I'll show you on this experiment when we're going to see it up here. Listen, don't underestimate the power of your words. I'll give you the power of words. Here's one. You guys, this is so cool. I wanted to be married. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate that. I wanted to be married. So you know what I did? I wrote down on paper what I wanted in a wife. And I wrote down this thing and that thing and this thing and another thing. And am I allowed to ask for that one, Lord? I'll just write that one down, just between me and you, okay? And I wrote down a few other things, and I tucked it away. Do you know what? When I met my wife, she was nearly every single thing on that piece of paper. Is that crazy or what? I just wrote it down, and it happened. Do you know what? God said some things, and all he did was write it down, right? And because it's written down, it still affects our lives when we read it, because the written word is backed up by the spoken word. Because you know what it's backed up by? The power of God. He upheld everything by the word of his power, by what we generate on the inside of us. Who do you say you are? How do you see yourself? What is your value? What is your significance? What is your demeanor? What is it you are? Your words are going to express that. What's really good and gracious about God is that our words can't overrule his words. Praise the Lord for that. Our words are powerful and they affect us and others, right? When my mother told me who I was, it buried itself in my identity. When my father told me who I was, it buried itself in my identity. When my teachers told me who I was, it buried itself in my identity. And I kept looking like you do from the day that I'm born to discover who I am. And so I look at the world to model who I am. And so from day one of my conception, I started building an image of who I was on the inside of me by what was shown to me and what was spoken to me. It happened to you also. And any of you that had children, you created and fashioned your child by what you modeled and what you spoke to that child. Do you know my dog modeled what I said to my dog, the way I thought about my dog, the way I identified with my dog. My dog manifested that. You know, it works in every area of our heart, our mind, and our lives. But here's the wonderful thing. God spoke some things into existence. And his things are the principal things, the overarching things, the first things, the first in priority and first in ever spoken, first in line. What he spoke, we can't void. So when he says that he sanctified us by his Spirit, it's done. He did. We can't wreck that. But what we can do is speak in our own lives and agree with God and say what God says and get the same results as him, or disagree with God and say what the world says and get the results of that. Regardless, it's what you say and believe in your heart that manifests it. Some of us are sick because we have had sick thoughts, sick words, and sick things being shown to us and going in our ears and our eyes. Those things have spoken. And don't think that just speaking out of your mouth is all that a word is. When Jesus answered the fig tree, it spoke to him by the leaves that it had with no fruit. He said, it says he answered it, right? So words are what you see also. Everything is speaking all the time. A voice is always being proclaimed. What are some of our voices? We have the voice that comes out of our mouth, right? And that's a spoken word. Do you know you have your own voice in your heart? Even God spoke. Just let's look at that. God spoke in his own heart. Remember Noah? Go to Genesis chapter 8. Go to Genesis chapter 8. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 6, and then we're going to go to 8. Emmy, we're going to do 8:20 and 21. And for you in the audience, let's go to Genesis chapter 6 and start in verse 5. So you and I here are going to Genesis 6 verse 5, and I'll read it to you if you don't have your Bible. We're going to go to that verse in a second, okay? We're going to this one now. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually, right? So we have intents in our hearts, and we have thoughts in our hearts. And those direct our words, our behavior, our actions, right? By the thoughts and the intents that are in our hearts, right? Doesn't Hebrews 4:12 say that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart? Right? So the Word of God will show you what are your thoughts and the intents of your heart. Right? Because we were only continually evil. And so because of that, every conception, every idea, every action, every motivation was along that line of their identity at that time. Right? And God had to destroy man and only save 8 people. Because the whole world was just everything being modeled to them, everything being spoken to them, everything they were doing was taking them down, down, down to the utter corruption and defilement. That God said, no, we got to end this thing now. Do you know that's been the problem throughout generations? When people start speaking, thinking, and identifying with negative things that are not the life of God, that he has to end it and stop it and nip it in the bud, right? Look at Moses. Moses in Numbers, God got so angry because of their unbelief that he had to turn around and say, Moses, I'm going to wipe, get out of the way. I'm going to wipe them all out and start over from scratch with you. Right? Didn't he say that? Because of the unbelief, because people wouldn't believe that God is so good, that he is life, that he is backing us, and that he is our Heavenly Father to bring us into his kingdom. They were looking at themselves as being able or unable to fulfill what God said, instead of trusting that God would do it, right? So, Moses says, no. And he reprimanded God. That was the one time God repented. Brave Moses stood up to God because of love. Because God could be swayed by love. Amen. So anyway, that got done. So ultimately it got to Jesus Christ, right? Where now Jesus comes and God dealt with all flesh. So there's no more genealogies now. Jesus was the last Adam. There's no more Adams. Jesus was the last one. No longer does God relate to you and me as flesh and blood. He relates to you and me as spirit now, right? And so we're born of the spirit and we're spiritual and our life is in the spirit and we walk according to the spirit and we speak words of life. Our words are spirit and they are life and we are moving into our real place in heaven as heavenly beings, right? In the spirit. And we will have an eternal life, a spiritual life. And the flesh, the old man, the flesh identity that mama and daddy put into me is no longer who I am. So that man of the flesh, of flesh and blood, that grew up as a human man breathing oxygen, that identity that was installed in me has to go bye-bye. And that's the one that made me sick. That's the one that gave me my problems. That's the one that gave me inferiority complexes. That's the one that made me addicted to things. That's the one that gave me all my shortcomings. That's the guy that put me in jail. That's the problem guy. He has to die, right? And so this guy lives. Guess what? What's the difference between, what makes the difference that I get to live between the spiritual guy and the flesh guy? What I believe. What I believe made the difference, right? I had to believe by faith that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he paid the price for my sins and that my sins are no longer held against me. So now I can have I can come to God now and he won't destroy me. He'll let me come into his presence now, right? So Jesus made it available that I could come into the presence of God, that my conscience can be cleared, right? So that I can have everlasting life. I had to believe that by faith. I never met Jesus as a man on the earth. Did any of you? Roy's the only one that looks like he possibly could have. But none of us, right? You get me back, Roy. That's right. Amen. But we all had to do it by faith, right? And God intervened and cooperated with me, right? That when I believed and confessed Jesus as Lord, didn't the Holy Spirit, the living God, do something in my heart? Didn't he do something in your heart? And he made himself real to me, and then I could believe him. And now I have the royal pleasure, as do all of you, that I am not on my own in my heart. I am not the only one here now. I have someone else with me who teaches me what to say, who shows me how to do it, and reminds me of who I am because of his presence, right? And he now is helping me with my words and how I see myself and how I identify with myself, and he's teaching me about himself by hanging out with me and that's grace. His influence in my heart is changing me. And you all get to see it, the influence that God has in my heart. Amen? And so the reflection of how he's influencing me is being shown in the reflection of my life, right? That's why we may not see us changing in 1, 2, 3 days, but over a period of time we say, wait a minute, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not saying those words anymore. I'm not thinking those thoughts that I used to think. I don't have those troubles in my life that I used to have, right? Over a period of time, because I'm speaking different words, I see myself differently, right? Boy, we're going to have to wrap it up. If I've got 99 more verses to go. So, did we go to Genesis chapter 8? Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took, this is after the ark, the water subsided, okay? This is God's covenant with creation. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. That's barbecue for you. Barbecue is a smooth aroma, a savory fragrance, isn't it? That's of God. God thinks barbecue smells good, doesn't he? That's the fact. That's it. That's what the Bible says. God discovered. He's the one that made barbecue. Praise the Lord. And he smelt a soothing aroma. That's right. Then the Lord, what? Said in his heart. Not with his mouth. He said it in his heart. He said, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. He smelt that barbecue, and then he spoke within his heart to himself on it. Changed the way he saw things. He saw it, and he knew that even though we were messed up in the foundation of who we are, as even from childhood, he was going to not put that against us anymore, right? And he wouldn't wipe us all out anymore after that, okay? So here's the thing. Even God talks in his heart. So let's talk about words again. Words can be spoken, right? Words can be written. And words can be thoughts, right? And all things are upheld by those. Isn't this written thing here called what? The Word of God. Don't we call this Bible the Word of God, right? Look at this. Here's another Word of God. Go with me to Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, 8. Go through 7 through 8. And then verse 15. So you can just throw up chapter 3, Emmy. All right, so it says in verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray where? In their hearts. And they have not known what? My ways. So I swore my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear what? His voice. And do not harden what? Your hearts as in the rebellion. God is always speaking here to you and me. He's always speaking. We all know the verse. My sheep shall know hear my voice, and they shall follow no other. Whether it shall know my voice, and they shall follow no other. Right? God's always speaking to us. But we have to decide to say what he says. We have to decide to do what he says. He is the one that overrides everything that I say. But what I say happens. Okay? It does. So we've got thoughts, we've got words, and we've got written. And those can be in my mind, in my heart, or out of my mouth. Right? So how many of you talk to yourselves in your heart? One person does. The rest of you, gosh, that is 2, 3, 4, 5 of you, 6, 7. This is like an altar call. I know there's someone else out there that talks to themselves. I know there's someone else that hears their own voice inside this vessel, and in their hearts, they talk. So 7 of you are going to heaven, and the rest of you are still undecided. All right. Every one of us talks to ourselves, don't we? That conversation is the one that actually affects you personally the most. Words are power. They're containers, and they contain the power that God has placed in you, right? So the meditations of your heart and the words that you say shape your life. Some of us never said, Holy Spirit's going to make me cry. Some of us never said we want trouble in our life. We never said we want to be sick. We never said we want troubles to overtake us. We never said we want accidents to happen to us. We never said that. But the way we talk to ourselves and think about ourselves, we say things that create over a period of time. Remember when I said that God's been working with me and I don't see it maybe 5 seconds after he tells me? But over a period of time, I start seeing its effect in my life. I'm seeing sanctification taking place. Well, that's the same way with the other garbage that we're carrying around with us right now. It's taken a long time to get where we're at in the natural, to get feeble, to have pain in our bodies, to have troubles just automatically come to us, to have sicknesses that just linger and won't go away. It's because the way we think and say in our hearts. It's the words. It's the words, you guys. It's the words that do it. And we do not, I assume, it's my opinion, that we do not regard our words as vitally important as they really are. I don't think we really realize that life and death that I experience came out of my own tongue. I don't really realize that the life and the death has come from me that I'm experiencing. But doesn't the Bible say that? And doesn't God say that I am so good, you all, I am so good that I create the fruit of your lips. I'm going to give you what you say because I'm that good. And if you speak evil, I'll give you evil because I'm that good. If you speak death, I'll give you death because I'm that good. I will give you what you say. By your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. I'm that good that I've given you the power to create, and I'm going to let you create the way you want to create. And I'm going to do it for you. Whatever you say, I'm going to give it to you when it aligns with your intents and the thoughts of your heart and your words give birth. I don't believe that I have really listened to some of the things that God has spoken to me. Oh, sure, they went in my ears. Sure they did. But I don't think I really believe that my life has followed my words. Here's how it started for me. My mother would say things about me, to me, and tell me what kind of a person I was. And that started me on a way of course I believed her. She was my mom. Of course I believed him. He was my dad. Of course I believed my teachers, because they were the authorities, right? And I said to myself what they said to me. Or they would say things about me and I didn't like what they said, so I would spend my life's energy proving them wrong. Why? Because I actually believed them. I actually believed them. And I didn't want it to be true about me, so I tried my hardest to prove them wrong and build a different life than they said, because I believed them. See, so then how do we get rid of all these negative words that we've spoken and fashioned this life that I now live? How do I get rid of those words that have gone out and created a harvest, and I'm reaping the rewards through my relationships with other people, by the health or the decrepancy of my body, and by my state in the world, my status in the world? How do I do that? God's made an incredible thing. You know what it is? It's called words. It's called words. That's how I change it, with the same thing that I created it with. Words. Praise the Lord. Instead of saying bad words, you know what I can say now? God, forgive me. Release me from that which I've done. I forgive you for that which you've done to me. And I go through and I release myself from all the things that have been placed inside of me that have created the garbage in my life, right? Here's a way to do it really fast. Are you ready? I died, and my life is hidden in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but now it's Christ who lives in me. That when he appears, I'll appear with him in glory. Therefore, I lay aside every provision for my flesh, every evil deed, I lay it all aside. I forgive, I release, and I let it go. And when it comes up, I say, no, that's not who I am. And I speak new words over those old ones that kind of come up. I know I said I was going to give you a lot of verses. I'm just going to speak them to you right now. It's a little faster. Mark chapter 11. We all know these words, right? Chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. We know those. Jesus cursed the fig tree and then it went in and said that if we command the mountain to lift up and be planted in the ocean, it will do it. We know that, right? And if you believe the words that you say, you're going to receive what you get. But if you doubt, you go without, right? That was the non-inspired version, by the way. If you doubt, you go without. Amen? That's a Robert reference. But if you believe, you receive, right? You doubt, you go without. So let's just talk about it a minute. You know what doubt is? Words that are counter the faith words. That's all it is. It's just these negative words were planted, this idea was planted in me, this truth, this revelation that I can't make a mountain go into the sea. Those words, those thoughts, those feelings, those beliefs are speaking to me, right? And then I expect that I'm just going to be able to jump in there right away and go, mountain, go into the sea. I read it in the book. It must be true. And if it doesn't obey me, this book must be a lie. No, I've had years of believing one thing. Years of believing something. And I expect in 1 second, one dose, I'm going to be cured. How many of you, don't raise your hands, have had to be on medication and the doctor said, take one pill one time and you will forever be healed? Not many of us. Usually, you have to get your dosage up in the beginning, get it into your bloodstream and your body, and then you keep taking it for a period of time, and over a period of time, it will do what it was prescribed to do, right? Over the long haul, right? That's the same way with us. We believe God over a course of a period of time because we're hearing new things, and those new things are going in, and some of us are stony ground, we're concrete. There ain't nothing gonna grow on my concrete. And then others of us, we got some gravel and it sounds really good for a second. And it's like, wow, that's great, mountain, get into the sea. And it doesn't obey me and I lose my joy because I got offended because it didn't work the way I said it worked, right? And then there's some of us that were in the Word and we're bearing some fruit, we're seeing some evidence of it, but we're so dang busy. We're chasing after so many things. We're worried about so many things that we can't really give our full attention to it, and it bears a little bit of fruit, but it's soon choked out through the cares of this world, through the deceitfulness of riches, and through all those things that rob us of really being able to focus and bring a harvest into fruition. But some of us have a good and noble heart, and we've gotten the rocks out, we've forgiven people, we've believed the Word of God over a course of a period of time, and now when that seed is planted and we hear it, bang, it springs forth a harvest, right? 30, 60, and 100 fold, right? And that is, we have to understand it to be true. We have to accept that it's true, and then we have to keep it. The three different Gospels have three different ways of describing that good seed. Understand it, accept it, and keep it. And then it produces this great harvest, right? Same with our words, you folks. Y'all folks. Same with your words. As you start speaking consistently over a course of a period of time, you will see the results of your harvest. Are you with me? That's why in healing school, it would be nice that we walk up to the Holy Spirit in some person and they pray for us and we get an instant manifestation, right? That's the best we would hope for, that right then and there. And praise God for the people in this room that are pressing in to do that very thing. But there's also a continuing of believing the Word, of speaking the Word, of seeing ourselves healed, of speaking life, of blessings and blessings and blessings, and being thankful and being thankful and being thankful and rejoicing and rejoicing and rejoicing and praising and praising, that this life just starts bubbling up out of our spirits. These living water just starts rising up out of me as I praise and I rejoice and I thank and I'm grateful and I experience the goodness of God and my body responds to that. Amen? Amen. Over a period of time. What time is it? Can we go ahead? I'm going to set you up for this video. And I'm going to speak for just a few minutes after it's over. Listen, the video is 9 minutes long. I don't endorse this guy. I don't even know who he is. But I liked the way he presented it. You can go online and do this yourself. I am doing it right now. Pastor Trey is going to do it, he said. Larry and Lenora are doing it right now. And I would think that it would be really fun if you guys did it. Because then you can see for yourself. Yeah, go ahead, Emmy. The effects of your words. when you really see how powerful your words are, whether you're saying it in your heart, whether you're writing it on paper, or whether you're speaking it out of your mouth. All three of those matter. I'll say this, that when I prayed for somebody's leg to grow out, I was able to say, leg grow out in the name of Jesus, and it did. But another person's, I was able to go, leg grow out, and nothing happened. Because the words weren't backed up by my intents in my heart. I would do it this way. I could do it this way. Watch. And the leg grew out. Just leg grows out. Why? Because it's what I said here is what did it. So if your mouth is flapping, but your heart is lying, you're going to get this result. Right? God said, they serve me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Right? They can be divided. So it's right here. Who do you say in your heart that you really are? How powerful are you in the way of affecting other people's lives in your own life by your own heart? Okay? God is dwelling here with me. Right? So we together are working together. Wouldn't it be smart if I was talking to him in here instead of to myself? Since we're both here? Wouldn't that be smart if I just talk with the Lord in here instead of just myself? Just food for thought. Food for thought. This guy right here, don't judge people, his shirt says. If you'll see in the column on the right side of the screen, those are other people that have done what we call the Rice Experiment. Some of you are familiar with it. And the Rice Experiment, lots of people do it. Some people just write a word and put it on the jar. Other people write words and speak over the jar. Some people do a jar and they're going to do a blessing. The other, they do a jar and they do a cursing. Like, I love you, I hate you. Thank you, you fool. Man, the ones that do you fool, you would be amazed at the results they get. Terrible. That's why I think God said, don't ever say you fool to somebody. Our words, I mean, if I had time, you guys, go over voice, words, saying, said. Look at everything that is word. You know, the words are everything we hang everything on, don't we? Well, you said, oh, Mom, you said, or in the courts, what you say, your words, your words, your words. Go ahead and run the video, Emmy.
G'day, folks. It's Chris Blore here. And today, I'd like to talk to you about a solution for the problems that you might be facing in your life, in your relationships, in your business, in your attitude, in your mindset. But first, what I'm going to share focuses upon the power and the impact of the words that you and I speak to ourselves, about ourselves, to and about other people every day. And what I'd like to do is share with you our experience with the Rice Experiment. Now, if you've never heard of the Rice Experiment, I suggest you go to YouTube and put in the Rice Experiment, and you can see lots of examples of what I'm about to share with you. But here's how the Rice Experiment works. And by the way, the reason that I use the little chattery teeth is, are our words just idle chatter? Are our words no more important than a little... These are lots of fun, by the way. Or do our words carry incredible power? So with the Rice Experiment, what you do is you boil some rice and you get two jars, sterilized jars, and a sterilized spoon, and you put some rice in each of the jars. And you put the lid on and you leave the rice in the jars that I'm about to show you. This is what we did 9 months ago. And you don't just put the rice in the jars, put them on a shelf, go away and forget about them. You write something on each jar, and you do something on a daily basis to each jar. And on the first jar, what you do is you write the word love. And every day we would look at this jar of rice and we would say, I love you. You are good rice. I appreciate you. And as you can see, this rice that is now 9 months old looks like it was only cooked yesterday. And every day for the last 9 months, this rice has been told, I love you, I appreciate you, you're good rice. On the other jar, however, we wrote the word hate. Can you see how slimy and absolutely gooey and horrible this is? It's because every day we'd say, ah, you're stupid. You're the worst rice I've ever seen. I don't like you. I don't appreciate you. That's the only difference. And so one jar has had words of love spoken to it every day. The rice in this jar, and it looks like it was just cooked yesterday. The other one, ooh, look at that slimy, horrible mess. I'd be loath to remove the top. I think it would absolutely stink. This jar has been told every day, yeah, you're stupid. You're the worst rice I've ever seen. I don't appreciate you. I hate you. Folks, look at the difference between love and hate. Love looks very fresh. Looks like it was just cooked yesterday, right? Hate, gooey, slimy, horrible. Now, stop and think. So many people in life, perhaps you included, we've grown up with people telling us not loving, constructive, helpful, edifying words of love. We've been in relationships with people where they haven't used their words to encourage and to build up and to make us feel good. They've used their words to tear down and to attack and to belittle. And what about yourself? When you talk to yourself, your own self-talk, is it filled with possibility and potential? Is it filled with hope for the future? Is it so good that the dreams that you had months ago are still fresh in your mind and in your heart, just like this rice? Or on the inside, is that what you feel like? Is that what you feel like? And even more sobering, is that what you're doing to the people around you? Are you speaking so much negativity that you're just killing them on the inside? Or are you speaking words of love, words of hope, words of power, words of faith? There is a quantum physicist on the internet called Mikio Kaoku, and he talks about how everything in the universe, everything has a vibration, and that there's a cause and effect behind that. Your words that you're speaking, if our words are so powerful that they can keep one jar of rice fresh and turn another into a horrible gooey mess, stop and think. What are your words doing to you? What are your words doing to those that you work with? What are your words doing to your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister or your son or your daughter or your mother or your father or your friend, your boyfriend or your girlfriend? The rice experiment. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And after 9 months, every day I look at this expecting this rice to go gooey and horrible like this one, but I keep on telling it, I love you. You're great. I appreciate you. This one, you're useless. You're horrible. You disgust me. Folks, that is the rice experiment, and that is the power of your words. So, I'd like to give a challenge to everybody watching this video. By all means, do the rice experiment yourself. 2 jars, sterilize the jars. Use a sterilized spoon, sterilize the lids. Cook some rice, put equal amounts of rice in each jar. Write on one jar hate, write on the other jar love. Talk words of comfort, encouragement, edification to one and tell the other jar how much the rice is stupid and silly and you don't like it, and watch the difference. But here's something. For the next 30 days, use your words to build up and to encourage, to inspire and to motivate, not to tear down. Because you might just find that a lot of the problems that you have in your life, areas where you are being defeated over and over and over again, your dreams are falling flat, your finances are in trouble, your business is having problems, your relationships are going down the toilet, you might just find that if you change the way you speak, that you've been getting defeated 1 inch below your nose by the words that come out of your mouth. There's a solid reason why it even says in the Bible that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Start using your words to encourage, to inspire, and to uplift. Do it for 30 days. See the difference it makes. Thanks for watching this. And remember, leave a comment in the box below and be sure to check out the rice experiment. See other people's experience with the rice experiment on YouTube.
Powerful, huh? There's lots of experiments. I'm doing it. The Kings are doing it. Trey said he's going to do it. I would encourage you to do it. You can do it with an apple. Take an apple, cut it in half, put one half in one jar, one half in the other, and do the exact same thing, and watch. One will mold and putrefy. The other will mold, rot much, much slower. Much, much, much slower. Because this is a cursed, cursed world. You know that, right? So it's taking everything down. But God says to speak words of what? Eternal life. That's why we lay down the deeds of the flesh. That's why we stop doing stupid things that we know God doesn't like us partaking in. Because it all adds to the death. And we need to go to the life. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. The Bible. Let's go to one last part of the book, and let's go to Philippians. In Philippians, it tells you to think on some things, doesn't it? It says, starting in verse 6, well, no, let's just start in verse 4. 4. Philippians 4:4. I would hope that this would just start putting things, you know, you can do this experiment with a plant. You can plant a seed in one container and a seed in another container and speak love to one and nurture one plant and keep cursing the other one and see the results of a living plant and how it responds. You know, they did experiments where they played beautiful music to one and rock and roll to another and that plant would wilt and die. It's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So what he said was, this is Roy, he said that he did this experiment with roses. And what he did was he took 2 vessels and put water in it. One water, he spoke blessings over it, and the other water, he cursed it. Okay? And then he snipped off two beautiful blooming roses and put them in each of the containers. And after 3 weeks, the blessed water that the rose was in was still a fresh-looking rose. And the other one in the cursed water had already dried up and died, and the petals fell off it. Crazy. Wonderful. God is that good. God is that good that he gives you what you think about, what you intend in your heart, and what you say out of your mouth. So, I want to help. This is important. This is really important. This is the most important part of what I want to talk about. Don't ask, why is this happening to me in my life? Because why can be answered so many ways. And your innermost parts of your being that answers the questions that you ask in your heart will answer and tell you why all this terrible stuff happened to you. And what happens is if you speak what is, you get more of what is. I can give you verses in the Bible where it says that a fool, he starts speaking folly and it turns into madness. He goes crazy because it just gets worse. And compounds and gets worse and worse and worse because he speaks about how bad it is. Why is this bad stuff happening to me? I don't know why it won't go away. How come this pain is staying in my body? Why is this sickness still here? You're making it bigger and gianter and giving it more mass inside of you. So don't do that. Instead, reframe your question and say this. How do I get this to be gone completely? How can I live without this in my life? How can I see myself completely healed? Ask those kinds of questions, okay? And you can graduate from that to saying this. Let me point when I use the word this. To saying this. That when the sickness, the pain, the troubles come, you can say, no, by his stripes I was healed. You have no right in my body. Pain, leave. Sickness, leave. Swelling, go. Problem, leave my body now in Jesus' name. You can start speaking and getting eternal life coming into your mortal flesh, it says in Romans, right? Till life can swallow up this mortal body. We can do that, but we've got to intend it to be so. Are you with me? Did you guys get something out of today? I can give you a lot of scriptures if you have any questions, but I would encourage you. These are some very practical things you can do. A flower in a thing of water. You can do it in the rice. Just get some rice, cook it like he said. Test it out. You know that? I want to let you know something. This is my opinion. That's all it is. I haven't got enough facts to be able to back it up one way or the other. But I've been doing the rice experiment for 10 days. All right? Some of these videos that you watch, in 3 days, the rice will go black and moldy. Okay? Some of them... It responds differently in all kinds of different cases. And this is my belief because it's what's really in your heart. Listen, this is just me. I'm not bragging. I'm just sharing what I'm experiencing in my life at this point. God corrects the way I think really fast. He doesn't let me dwell on negative stuff. He doesn't let me say bad things. I have a very hard time thinking evil thoughts. I have a very hard time doing it because he just keeps teaching me no, no, no. Because he told me himself that when I went to outer darkness, you guys heard that story of when God put me in outer darkness and he held the Bible open and he said, this, learn it. And when you speak, speak as I would speak. Agape. That's love, charity. Speak the way I speak. And he told me to do that. And any of you that don't know that story and you're a male, I advise you to come down to Spud Dogs. I'm going to give my testimony on Saturday morning at 8:30. And I'm going to talk about some of these things. But anyway, that was a little commercial. for men's breakfast on Saturday morning. But anyway, so when I started speaking over my rice, I want to let you know, I have a very difficult time saying negative things to that rice. Does that sound silly? I have a real hard time cursing that rice, telling it it's ugly and I hate it and dry up and die and you're evil. I tell you what, my heart is almost like protecting the rice as my brain is trying to say those words. You know that? So it may take 9 months like his for me to get the results. But some people, in 3 days, their rice is just black and moldy and disgusting. Okay? So different results from, and that's just my guess. There's no science behind it at all. Because I'm wondering, why isn't mine black yet, you know? It still looks great. And I think it's because I actually care about the rice. Anyway, I love you guys. If anybody needs prayer, you can go ahead and come up here, and we will speak life over you in Jesus' name.